Okay, good morning. Thanks for your patience. I'm Anthony Ricciardi. I'm the Associate Director of Research at the McGill School of Environment. And this is the sixth of a series of special symposia that have been organized by the school for the purpose of communicating research and expert opinion on environmental issues to academics, to our students, and to the public. This particular symposium has been coordinated in collaboration with the Quebec Center of Biodiversity Science. It will be co-chaired by me and my colleague, Professor Andrew Gonzalez, who is the director of the center, who we'll speak to in a few minutes. Our topic is the future of biodiversity in the Anthropocene. And this is a term that's used to describe a unique era in Earth's history that's characterized by human-driven global change. And our generation recognizes these changes better than any other generation that's preceded us. We are generally aware that we've altered the planet's climate, we've altered its atmosphere, the chemistry of its atmosphere and its oceans, we've altered its physical landscape and the biological landscape, especially the subject of today, especially the diversity and distribution of life. Now, even the term Anthropocene has started to become integrated into our culture. We're starting to see it on the covers of influential magazines. We're seeing books written about it. We're seeing it in the newspapers and in the in other forms of media. You're going to hear more about it. What we're doing today is we're looking at how the elements of the Anthropocene affect biodiversity. We're going to be referring to patterns in the past, current ones, and we have to project in the future. Now, this era is dominated by something called the Great Acceleration, which is rapid ecological and socioeconomic change. This has been going on for millennia, but it's generally acknowledged that we notice the acceleration. It's most pronounced after the Industrial Revolution. And there are many elements. This is a well-known paper by Stefan et al. In Ambio, 2007, which elegantly illustrates it, showing all kinds of factors that demonstrate the change that's occurred over the last 150 or 200 years. So our goal today is to think about what the future holds for biodiversity in the context of these changes. And we'll be looking at 12 presentations that address a broad variety of issues. It's not meant to be comprehensive, it's meant to be diverse, that are related to biodiversity change, beginning with our keynote speaker, who will be introduced later. I will turn over the microphone to Andy Gonzalez, who will speak on behalf of the QCBS. We're also going to run a short little video that we were priming up just now. And he will also be introducing the speakers for the morning session. I'll be introducing them for the afternoon session. Andy.
If you want to turn it. Thank you, Tony. Welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to see you all here this morning. I'm incredibly excited about today, which is the first symposium that's co-organized between the McGill School for Environment and the Quebec Center for Biodiversity Science. This is the first time we've tried something like this. I think it's going to be a riotous success. I'm hoping it is, that we're going to generate a lot of discussion and debate about around the idea, very idea of the Anthropocene and what biodiversity science can contribute to our understanding of the Anthropocene. When I founded the QCBS in 2007, I had this idea that we should be better connecting researchers in much the same way that the planet has been connecting itself at economic, social, and information technologies. And my sense is that we can do better as a society if we're connected and sharing our ideas in ways like this, where we have students and faculty talking and sharing research and results. I think there is no better demonstration for what we're going to be talking about today than is I'm going to show you on this 3-minute video, which was put together by the IGPP a few years ago and was shown at a United Nations conference. So I'm going to, those of you who haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. So bear with us for 3 minutes as an introduction to our symposium today.
This is the story of how one species changed a planet.
Of course, the British.
The latest chapter of our story begins in England 250 years ago. Fueled by coal, then oil, several brilliant inventions appeared. They ignited the Industrial Revolution, which spread like wildfire through Europe, North America, Japan, then elsewhere. The great railways, then cars and highways, connected people across the globe. Medical discoveries saved millions of lives. New artificial fertilizers meant we could feed more people. Population rose rapidly. But this was nothing compared with what was to come. The 1950s marked the beginning of the Great Acceleration. Globalization, marketing, tourism, and huge investments helped fuel enormous growth. People swarmed to cities, which became even more powerful engines of creativity. In a single lifetime, the well-being of millions has improved beyond measure. Health, wealth, security, longevity, never have so many had so much. Yet 1 billion are malnourished. In a single lifetime, we have grown into a phenomenal global force. We move more sediment and rock annually than all natural processes, such as erosion and rivers. We manage 3/4 of all land outside the ice sheets. Greenhouse gas levels this high have not been seen for over 1 million years. Temperatures are increasing. We have made a hole in the ozone layer. We are losing biodiversity. Many of the world's deltas are sinking due to damming, mining, and other causes. Sea level is rising. Ocean acidification is a real threat. We are altering Earth's natural cycles. We have entered the Anthropocene, a new geological epoch dominated by humanity. This relentless pressure on our planet risks unprecedented destabilization. But our creativity, energy, and industry offer hope. We have shaped our past. We are shaping our present. We can shape our future. You and I are part of this story. We are the first generation to realize this new responsibility. As the population grows to 9 billion, we must find a safe operating space for humanity, for the sake of future generations. Welcome to the Anthropocene.
So there we are. That's some backdrop to the research that we're going to discuss today. My hope is that everybody really engages in the dialogue, that we have two microphones left and right there. If you want to, please get up when you want to ask a question and use the microphone so that everyone can hear your question. And let's have some fun.